بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحق المبين، الحمد لله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن اتبع سنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وصل اللهم وسلم تسليما كثيرا عليهم واغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المسلمين. وبعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات، brothers and sisters, today I've been told to substitute Sheikh Yasser Qadhi عافاه الله وشافاه ورفع ما به من بأس. And as far as I know, you do not start yet in this book, Kitab al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah. So I think it will be a good idea if we today give introduction for this book, and why we will choose this book, and why we will teach this book to the student, or why this book is a unique book. What is special about Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah? As a matter of fact, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah has some special quality, made this book a unique book. And I mean this word, a unique, there is nothing similar to it among the books been written in Aqidah. And this, or this special quality, I can make them in three qualities or three reasons. For these reasons, this Aqidah or this book became a unique book. أول هذه الأسباب التي يجعل هذه العقيدة عقيدة متميزة موضوع هذا الكتاب. The first special quality about this third book is the subject of the book. And the second unique or special quality about this book is the way this book been written. And the third special quality of this book is the author, مؤلف هذا الكتاب وموضوع هذا الكتاب و طريقة تأليف هذا الكتاب. These three things actually made the book a very unique book, as you will see. This book, the subject of this book is very clear from the first line you will read, inshallah, when you will start reading in the book. هذا اعتقاد الفرقة الناجية الطائفة المنصورة أهل السنة والجماعة. That he said in the beginning, this is the i'tiqad, the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, al-Ta'ifat al-Mansurah, al-Firqat al-Najiyah. This is the belief of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So this book, basically, it's a book about Aqidah. It's talk, the subject is Aqidah, the creed, the thing you believe in. And this subject is a very important subject. As a matter of fact, it's the first subject you should focus on it. Al-Aqidah, Aqidah to Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is a very important issue. Therefore, you will find Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah wrote a lot of book in Aqidah, even though his students been amazed by the number of books he wrote books in Aqidah. One day, one of his students, Al-Bazzar, asked him, قال يا إمام ما لي أراك مكثرا من الكتابة في الأصول والقواعد. He said, why, ya Imam, you're writing a lot of books in Usul al-Din, in Aqidah? Then Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, because this subject, Aqidah, as much as you talk about, as much it will be clear and strong deep in the heart. And as much as you leave it, you will lose it. Like Kitabullah, Quran al-Kareem. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something unique about this Quran. You might memorize the Quran, ask the Huffaz. But stay 1 month away from the Quran. Do not read the Quran, you forgot. Totally. Very quickly to lose. Therefore Allah called his book Kitabun Aziz. وهو عزيز يعني يعز عليه أن يهجر فإذا هجر هجر. That Allah called the Kitab عزيز يعني this book is very honored. If you do not take care of it, he will leave you. If you do not honor this book, he will leave you. He will not settle in your heart. It's the same thing about the belief. This belief is honored belief. It's a unique belief. If you do not focus on it, reviewing it, try to study more about it, otherwise it will become weak and weak and weak in your heart. And as much as you focus, as much as you read, therefore you found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam focus in the subject of Aqidah from day one to the last day in his life. What's the last thing he said before he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was warning his ummah about the grave and how dangerous that Muslims, if they build mosques and graves, and his grave be taken as Eid, or a place where people gather and come to pray there, they might commit shirk. And he mentioned the shirk of the Nasara, the Christian and the Jewish. This is the last words came from his mouth. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever his last word in this dunya, La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. And this is the beginning, this is the end. La ilaha illallah at the beginning, and La ilaha illallah at the end. You will see in Surah Al-Ma'idah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu. O who believe, believe. O who believe, al-mu'minun. He talking up to the mu'mineen. And he said, believe. The scholar said about this ayah that show you that you have a belief, you need to study more, to have more and more, to make that belief strong in your heart. It's not right if somebody said we want to study Aqidah, some people feel there in their heart like been insulted. Oh, we do not have Aqidah? You want to correct our Aqidah? It's not like that. The heart who full of Iman, when he talk about Aqidah, he seek more clearness. He will see that this Aqidah became more strong in his heart. This belief be more strong in his heart. Therefore, talking about this issue is a very important. Al-Aqidah, أشرف العلوم على الإطلاق. The Aqidah, the subject of Aqidah or belief, is the highest knowledge you can ever seek. And I'm really amazed or surprised by some Muslims. He read a lot in different subjects. He know a lot of information or details, or would like to read about ilm al-hadith, ilm al-rijal, ilm al-mustalah, ulum al-Quran. But when it comes to aqidah, you see, he does not care much. He said, Alhamdulillah, everybody has believed, good, Alhamdulillah. And this is not right. Once one of the imma, he used to teach Tawheed to his students. So his student told him one day, Ya Imam, or Imam al-Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muhammad al-Wahhab, he been told from his students, why are you teaching us Tawheed? We want to go forward, farther, yani. فقال لهم, then he told them, today, inshallah, we will see. Then after a couple of days, he told them, I heard in the village terrible thing happened. He said, what? He said, is that right? Did you hear that somebody had a great criminal which he slept with his mother? A'udhu billah. Then everybody in the halqa started saying, A'udhu billah, A'udhu billah. Who will do this? He should be killed. Get very angry.
So they hear, I mean, there's something like that. Then in the night, after Maghrib, he told them, I clarify the issue, and I found out it's not like that, that his mother was sick, and he sacrificed an animal for her to be saved, this sacrifice for jinn. It was not any kind of sexual relationship or anything. Then the student said, Alhamdulillah, يعني, it's not that terrible thing. Then he told them, Rahimahullah, Subhanallah. Sacrifice animal for jinn is shirk. And if he done this, he done shirk. And what you heard in the morning is just a sin, a major sin, but it's not a shirk. So what is bigger in your heart, the shirk or the major sins? Therefore, we need to study more on Tawheed. Look to ourselves when it comes to wala and bara. Look to ourselves when it comes loving Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, and depending on Allah Azza wa Jal. Touch these hidden things in your heart. You see how much you will need the Tawheed, the Aqeedah. Therefore, nothing will build a strong belief in the heart like the Aqeedah, like studying the Aqeedah. We're not trying here, inshallah, in these classes to teach you about the details about the deviant sects. We would like to focus on the foundation of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Therefore, this book been chosen, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, as I will mention, inshallah. Also, it's very important to focus in the subject of Aqidah, because we hear today a lot of doubts come to the Muslims. It came through the media, by this world turned to be a small village, and a lot of doubts, a lot of thoughts, strange thoughts came to the Muslims, and it might change their belief. Even from the awam, sometimes you will hear some doubts that came to their minds. Therefore, teaching the aqeedah, teaching the foundation or the usul, the pillars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is a very important issue. Also, we need to talk about aqeedah because we're seeing here disunity in our ummah. This group has this, that group has that, he has this, he came with that, and everybody has way, different ways. And there is no way to unite this ummah if you do not unite them in one belief, in one aqidah. And as much as you make these beliefs common in every single Muslim's heart, as much you see the unity of the Muslims. Therefore, يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله لم يكن بين أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اختلاف في أصل واحد من أصول الاعتقاد. The companion of the Prophet ﷺ, between them, among them, there is no difference in belief at all, even in single one matter. In the pillars of aqeedah, there is nothing. All of them the same. Which built a strong unity for that generation and the second and the third. And as much as there is different beliefs, doubts in the belief, wrong beliefs came to the Muslimin, as much as you will see disunity between the Ummah. So if we're seeking the unity of the Ummah, فَإِنَّ أَسَاسَ تَوْحِيدِ الْكَلِمَةِ هِيَ كَلِمَةُ التَّوْحِيدِ. The foundation of uniting ourselves is the word of Tawheed, لا إله إلا الله. The belief. Also, the importance of Aqeedah, because you see how Muslims weak, how our nation became in the tail of the caravan. It used to be ahead, the leader of the Ummah, of the nation. Waldron, in the history of civilization, a big book, he's from Europe, he wrote a chapter and he's saying, shame on European people, shame on the white guys in Europe, that when he start talking, he will start pronouncing some words in Arabic to show that he have been to Cairo or to have been to Damascus or Baghdad to seek knowledge there, and he came to show off in Europe that he was graduate from these schools. It was that the Muslims world or the Muslimin used to be the leader. When somebody wants something, they will go to them to seek the knowledge. Even the knowledge related or the science. But today you will see Muslims have no more respect in the world. They are the cheapest nation, cheapest blood, free. And why is that? Because the victory, the honor, the izzah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to the people who have the right belief. And whenever there is bid'ah in belief, whenever there is change, wrong belief, Allah destroyed these nations. Among the Muslimin, look to the history. You know, there is a great state called Dawlat Bani Umayyah. It was a great state. لما اعتنق مروان الحمار مذهب الجهم بن صفوان دمر الله بني أمية. The Marwan, the last Khalifa in Dawla al-Umayya, when he believed in deviant belief or evil belief, which is the belief of Jahm ibn Safwan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed this Khilafah. And who came after them? Who knows? Al-Abbasiyin. And this Abbasiyin became after the Umayyin. And when the Abbasiyin adopt the belief of Shia and turn to be Rawafid, cursing Abu Bakr and Umar in the Manabir every Jum'ah in the end of this Khilafah al-Abbasiyya, Allah destroyed this state, nation. And who replaced them? Ottomans. Wal-Uthmaniyin. In the end of these Ottomans, when they adopt the Sufism belief, and they turn to be practicing shirk around the graves and start building the graves and building mashahid, and they left the correct belief, Allah destroyed this state. And look to the other hand, when the Khulafa al-Rashidin, when the correct belief was very clear, how strong was the Muslims? Even if you make a little bit of comparing between Ali, when the Rawafid start coming and the Khawarij and different sects came and the belief start to shaking a little bit, that this state was not strong as Umar ibn Khattab time and Uthman time. You see, when you look to Dawlat Bani Umayyah, when you look to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, you see how this state is very strong. But when you see in sometimes like Al-Ma'mun, the doubts, the bid'ah came, that the state of Muslim became weak. قال شيخ الإسلام وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ وَأَسْبَابِ سُقُوطِ الدُّوَلْ ظُهُورُ الْبِدْعَةِ وَفَشَاءُ وَفُشُوِّهَا. Also, we have to know, brother and sister, that a correct belief, it is the way for you to having to be so close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Correct belief make the person very close to Allah Azza wa Jal, very understandable to his book, to Sunnah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The correct belief makes you honoring Allah and Rasulih, not like other people who has no respect for or have no correct belief. I gave example last night here in this plot, in this masjid. There is a very famous poet, it's called Al-Burda. They used to recite this poet in celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the line in that poet saying, لو ناسبت آياته عظما لأحيا ذكره دار سريمني. He basically saying, the Prophet has not been given a miracle equal to what he deserved. who explained that line, he said, even the Quran, it's not in the Prophet's station. The list he could be given, that when you pronounce the Prophet's name on a dead person, he will come up honoring to his name. لو ناسبت آياته عظما لأحيا ذكره دار سبيلا. This person who has not a correct belief, he has no respect anymore for the Quran. He claiming having respect for the Prophet, but in fact in the other hand, he dishonoring the Quran. And not by honoring Muhammad ﷺ, by putting him in a station higher than what he deserves ﷺ. He is the best creation, no doubt. He's best than any creation ever you can imagine. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. فهو أعظم مخلوق خلقه الله عز وجل وأشرف مخلوق. اللهم صل وسلم على حبيبنا وخليلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And also correct belief, it makes you brother and sisters, make your deeds acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the people on the day of judgment. Whose? Illa man ata Allah biqalbin salim. Except those who will come to Allah with a heart which is correct. The scholar said, قال المفسرون يعني قد سلم من الاعتقادات الباطلة والشبه الباطلة. Correct belief. Those people will come to Allah with the correct belief. Those people Allah will accept. Those people what Allah will honor. Those people will deserve the Jannah. Therefore, whoever will fulfill the meaning of the Tawheed, the correct belief, he will be fulfilling the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give. He said, Ya ibn Adam, as narrated by Tirmidhi wa ghayra, قال يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا. If you came to me, son of Adam, Allah saying, if you came to me, son of Adam, with a sin, as much as the whole earth, or it would fill the whole the earth, Allah will meet you with forgivenesses, which will forgive all of these sins. Even though your sins as much as this whole earth. But what? If you meet me, you do not have partner. You do not. You have not taken a partner with me. إذا لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا. If you're having the correct belief, you will deserve that. You will deserve the Jannah. قال الله عز وجل في بيان أن أهل الجنة يدخلون الجنة أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. They will be saved and they will be guided to the Jannah, to the paradise. الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. Those who believe and did not commit shirk. Dhulm, it means shirk. And did not commit shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them and He will guide them to the Jannah. كما فسر ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صحيح البخاري من حديث ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained the meaning of the ayah, as narrated by البخاري, reported by البخاري, that ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه narrated, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, dhulm, it means shirk. قال أهل العلم كلمة احفظوها. I'm going to tell you a word, try to memorize it. قال أهل العلم إن أهل السنة والجماعة وإن قعدت بهم أعمالهم قامت بهم عقائدهم يوم القيامة وإن أهل البدعة والضلالة وإن قامت بهم أعمالهم قعدت بهم عقائدهم. وهذه كلمة عظيمة. This is a great word. that Ahlul Ilm said that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if they will come in the Day of Judgment, when they will come, even though if they do not have much of good deeds, even though if they do not have a lot of good deeds, but their belief will take them higher station, will take them up, the belief itself, the correct belief. And Ahlul Bid'ati wa Dhalalah, the people of Bid'ah, they will not have a correct belief. Those people, what will happen to them? Even though they will come with a lot of good deeds, with a lot of deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholar said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they came to Allah with this, a lot of good deeds, their beliefs will put them down, will not them go up. Maybe we can spend the whole lecture talking about the importance of talking about the aqidah and the importance of this subject. And inshallah, you will touch this, you will see that, you will feel that, you will test this when you study this book and you will study inshallah aqidah Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The second special quality about this book is the book itself, the way it's been written. It is a very unique way. Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, one of the most famous book in Aqidah ever. Even Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said he was surprised. Qala Shaykh al-Islam, قد كتبتها لرضي الدين الواسطي رجل من صالح أهل واسط سألني أن أكتب له اعتقادا فقلت له قد كتب الناس عقائد أختار لك من عقائد أئمة أهل السنة إلى آخر كلامه. That Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله said a man, his name, inshallah I will tell you that later on, ask him to write a belief. Then he said, after I asked him to pick one of the beliefs that Aima wrote before me, he asked me, he insists that I will should write for him. Then he said, the point here, he said, Rahimahullah, then after I wrote it to him, I found out it's been spread out all over the world. He said, people start contacting me from Egypt, from Damascus, from Iraq, from Medina, from Yemen, everywhere, telling Ibn Taymiyyah, we have received the Aqidah al-Wasatiyah. قال شيخ الإسلام فلم أرى إلا وأن كاتبني الناس من مصر والعراق والشام وغيرها من بلاد المسلمين يسألونني عنها. It became so popular in a very short time, even though he entered the jail because of this book. رحمه الله. What is unique about the book itself? First thing, so you can know what kind of book you are going to study. Every single, not word, every single word in this book, not this book, Book al-Wasatiyah, has consistence from the scholars, from the Salaf al-Salih, Ijma'. Every single word, every single meaning in that book, in Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, no single sahabi or tabi'i or tabi'i tabi'i or tabi'i tabi'i or one of the a'imma al-arba'a or one of their students disagree with it. Can you imagine the challenge? He rahimahullah, they asked him, the fuqaha gathered and they brought Ibn Taymiyyah to ask him about the book. Then he said, I'm giving you 3 years, each one of you, go research. If you can find a single word in this book, one of the Sahaba or Tabi'in or Tabi'i Tabi'in or one of the Imma al-Arba'a or their famous students disagree with it, I will take it out from my book. You have what you want. 3 years. See the challenge? I will sit in the jail 3 years. Go ahead and research. Then they came up with words. One of them, he said, I have a word. Who said that word? You said that Al-Quran came out from Allah. Came out? Where do you got this word from? Then Shaykh al-Islam said, this is narrated by, reported by Abi Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing better to worship Allah with than whatever come out from him. He said he used the same word I used, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what Abu Bakr said, radiallahu anhu, as narrated in Sunan wal Masanid, that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq also used the term of the Quran came out of Allah. This is Abu Bakr, and before him Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then they have nothing left against it. And they end after four or five times, they gather to discuss the Aqid al-Wasti with him. They couldn't come up with one single word against it from that. So it is something you have to hold tight to it. That all the meaning in this book you're going to study have consistent ijma' from al-ulama. Second, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has an amazing way in writing. And I can tell you two things about him when he writes. When he writes, we can say it since you are in America. If you are working computer and you have two browsers in front of you, you see? Two browsers, you open two browsers. He's like that. One here it's called a Salaf al-Salih. And the other one here it's the deviant sect. Wallahi, when he writes, he is looking to what a Salaf said, and what the wrong belief is, and what the deviant sect saying about this matter, then he will write in the way, when you read it, you will understand what the Salaf al-Salih said, and you basically will understand the difference between them and the others. And this is an amazing way, because you might write, but when you write, you might read something, but you don't know what's behind the word. But when you read to Ibn Taymiyyah, you understand that when he used this word, he meant to warn you from other kind of beliefs, wrong belief in this matter. And in the same time, he will come to tens of narrations came from the Salaf al-Salih, and they will put them in a very smooth way, in a words which is easy for you to understand. When he looked to the narration from the Salaf al-Salih, and this is a very important point, that sometimes you read one narration, then when you read that narration you start making judgment on that based on this narration, and you think this is the methodology of the Salaf al-Salih, or this is the way of the Prophet ﷺ companion, or this is the correct belief. You do not bring the other narration. Ibn Taymiyyah, he used to bring the other narration together, he will look to the whole picture. He will not take one narration and will leave the rest of it. Also, when he talk about rahimahullah, when he write, he knew the madahib, the different opinions in the aqidah issue, in the fiqh issue, in the usul, in the tafsir, the difference between the scholars, the different opinion among the same subject, in amazing way that you can believe how much this person يعني, has information in his head. Even his worst enemy, Ibn Zamalkani al-Maliki, the one he ordered the Khalifa to kill him, he said in the end, wallahi, from 500 years Muslim had never had somebody like him. I admit it, he said. You know what 500 means? Yani he only make istithna, exception, the first 100 years, because Ibn Taymiyyah was born 661. So he said after the 100 years from 100, yani from the second generation, second century in Islam, there is not nobody lit like him. And you will see when you talk about him, inshallah, and I will keep the rest of the time for talking about him more in details, you will understand what I'm saying. Inna bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, so when he writes, he knows what he's writing. Also, Ibn Taymiyyah, his enemy, said, wallahi, he knows about our belief more than what we know. Even though said, there is no single faqih Maliki came to him unless he will know about madhab Malik from him. And he's not Maliki. And Hanafi, he will know about madhab Hanifa from Ibn Taymiyyah more than the Hanafi scholars. And Shafi'i, and Hanbali, and he was Hanbali rahimahullah. But as al-Dhahabi said, he been now from a long time, he only give fatwa based on the dalil. But he raised as madhab al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. But he knows about the madahib more than the other madahib know. Even though the different sects, even the Shia said, some of our beliefs we couldn't understand it until we listened to Ibn Taymiyyah how he explained it. Then we understand what it means in our madhab. And they admit that. Rahimahullah, you will see, I will talk about him. He had a debate with the philosopher in the Latin. He learned the Latin to read their language. Then he debated them in their own language. He debated the Jewish in their own language, in the Hebrew, bil-Ibriyah. And he said, I learned the Hebrew, then I start reading the Torah, then I debated them, the Jewish in my town, in their own language. Even though they didn't know maybe Hebrew. إنه رحمه الله كان مدرسة school. So when that person write, he write very special writing. This also عقيدة, it focus on the pillars. Therefore you will see one of the unique things about this عقيدة you put as a point, that he mentioned the pillars of أهل السنة والجماعة's belief. Almost of it, not all of it. There's some issues in عقيدة, he didn't mention it. Like the issues related to Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, to Tawheed al-Ibadah, and the Shirk, and the Bid'ah, what the meaning of Bid'ah. These issues he did not mention in his book. And Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, or Tawheed al-Ibadah, wa afraad al-Shirk. Also, he made this book based on the six pillars of Iman. It mentioned in Hadith Jibreel alayhi salam. What is the iman? He said iman أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله وباليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. And he add to it also the issue of الجماعة, the meaning of الجماعة, and the ولاة الأمر, the rules of Muslims, and how to deal with them. And this is part of the belief. He mentioned it and he put it because the way of the Salaf, when you read in the old books that were written by Salaf al-Salih, you will see they mention this as a part of the Aqidat al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, because there is difference between al-Sunnah al-Khawarij and Mu'tazila in this issue, as you will see. Also he mentioned what related to the Sahaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned the Sunnah and the importance of the Sunnah and the dangers of rejecting the Sunnah. And one more thing you added to that, which is amazing one, he ends his book with saying, وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ مَعَ هَذَا كُلِّهِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He mentioned the أمر بمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. One of the great signs of أهل السنة والجماعة. And he ends with, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنْ سِفْسَافِهَا. They order people to have the good manners. So he put the manners as a part of a belief. He mentions certain things related to the foundation of manners. He mentioned it in the end of the book. Because actually the fruit of the right, correct belief is the akhlaq. Therefore the Prophet ﷺ said, I have been sent for nothing but to complete the good manners. Because the fruit, the result of the good belief, the result of the good ibadah, the result of the ibadah, the result of taqwa, is that you behave right. That you have a good manners. Because you will be model. You will be a model. People will copy you. If you have no manners, that means you have to review yourself and check how much you have a correct or correct understanding if what for what you believe. Therefore, it's not acceptable for a person to say, "I am alhamdulillah have aqidat salaf as-salih," and he lies, and he deal in a with envy, with hasad, with ghil, with backbite, with having hatred to his brother and sisters, to try to harm people, to make problems between the Muslims, make namima, make ghiba. It's not acceptable to say, "Wallah, mashallah, and you are not a good people, don't like you, cannot stand you, cannot trust you." Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are not like this. And this is a very unique thing about this book, that it completes the picture. It really makes the person we would like to see him working, because he's a role model. And that's what we're seeking from these lectures or these classes. Actually, talking about this book, also it's a long talk about the special thing about the book. That book is very short statements, very clear statements. There's no hard or use the term of the philosopher when he wrote. And guess what? He wrote this book after Salat al-Asr, when he was laying down in a tree in the shade. Then he wrote the book with no reference. It's 1 hour, 1.5 hours. That's it. Rahimahullah ta'ala. This book called Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, because somebody, his name Radiyuddin Al-Wasiti from Wasit. Wasit, it's a town in Iraq. This town, it's in the middle. Wasit, it means wasat, middle. It's in the middle between Al-Kufa and Al-Basra. Not even a single yard extra from this side or single yard extra from that side. Exactly in the middle. Those people in Wasit, and this is the city between Kufa and Basra, they send a letter, or this Qadi Ibn Radiyuddin al-Wasiti, he asked Ibn Taymiyyah to write a belief for him and for his family, so they can believe it and focus on it, because there's a lot of doubts going on in his town. And that show you, when there is doubts, when there is different opinions, you have to go to the scholar to ask. He asked him. Then Ibn Taymiyyah told him, "I can ask, pick one of the old beliefs that Imam wrote before me, and you can have it." He said, "No, I want you to write." Subhanallah, that guy, he was the reason for us to be here today talking about this book. Rahimallahu jamee. See how much reward he got. How many millions times people study that book, or he taught this book, Al-Wasitiyah. And after that, he wrote the book to him, and it became very famous with the name of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. Also because this book always mentioned the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is in the middle between two extremes. You will see when you read that Ahlul Sunnah in the middle between two extremes, such and such. So also that's one of the reasons we call this Aqidah Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah.